the birds, and the bees. For centuries, parents have used these small creatures from nature to metaphorically explain sex to children. But is this really the best way to talk to kids about a very important subject? A wise man named Solomon thinks otherwise. In Proverbs 5-7, Solomon talks to his son about the management of his sexual integrity, not the mechanics of intercourse, not about the birds and the bees, but about the blessings and the curses of sexual behavior. The wise king and father pulls no punches when it comes to warning his son about the enticements of the adulterous woman, nor does he hesitate to encourage him to enjoy his young wife's intoxicating love. I'm Ron Jones. Something good starts right now.
The world spends an awful amount of time talking about sex. And as it happens, so does God. Hello, I'm Brian Davis, and this is Something Good with Dr. Ron Jones, lead pastor at Atlantic Shores Baptist Church in Virginia Beach, Virginia. Today, we come to one of the most controversial subjects in our culture today, sexual intimacy. The world has not only perverted that which God created, it has begun to celebrate that which God says is an abomination. Over the next few days, Ron takes us to the book of Proverbs to set the record straight. Come see us at somethinggoodradio.org to listen to the broadcast on demand on your schedule. That's somethinggoodradio.org. Subscribe to our podcast at Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. Now from his teaching series, Wise Sayings, Guidance for Everyday Life. Here's Ron with today's Something Good Radio message, making wise choices about sex.
The University of Utah and Planned Parenthood have joined together once again to fund Sex Week at the school, where student participants have the opportunity to win a year's supply of contraception. I'm not making this up. Sex Week's stated mission is to raise awareness about reproductive justice by deconstructing reproductive oppression. I guess that's aimed at guys like me who teach the Bible and what the Bible has to say about sex. Deconstructing reproductive oppression and advocating for our bodies, our families, and our lives. All kinds of events happening on college campuses related to sex weeks. Some professors are giving makeup tardies and absences to students to attend, like this Thursday night events where students are invited to participate in a, quote, make your own safe sex kit workshop. Wow. That's what I want to send my kid to college for, you know, is to get their safe sex kit workshop, and free HIV STD testing is available as well. Students for Choice President Kalam Kaur says the goal of her group is to help people to have complete autonomy over themselves, reports the Daily Utah Chronicle. Sex Week. I mean, this is part of the moral perversion and pollutedness that our culture introduces as it relates to a gift that God has given to us within the boundaries of marriage. I'm all for open and honest conversations about sex. In fact, I'm not among those pastors or even lay people who think that there are three taboo subjects in the church that we should never talk about. You know those three subjects, don't you? Money, sex, and politics. No, I happen to think we ought to talk about every one of those subjects. And what does God have to say about them? And especially when it comes to sex, because friends, God created sex. He's not bashful about it. He doesn't blush when he talks about it. He created it. Go all the way back to the book of Genesis chapter 1. God created man in his own image, male and female he made them. And then you have in Genesis chapter 2, the first marriage ceremony between Adam and Eve, where the two became one flesh and they were told to be fruitful and multiply. Listen, God created us as sexual human beings, and he gave us sex as a wonderful gift within the context of the marriage relationship. And within the context of the marriage relationship, it is to be enjoyed and celebrated. Solomon's even going to refer to an intoxicating level of pleasure between the husband and the wife. Enjoy yourselves, husbands and wives, within the marriage relationship. But oh, does the Bible warn us about losing our sexual integrity, about operating ourselves as sexual human beings in a way that's inconsistent with what God has told us and the boundaries that he has established. I love the fact that Solomon has a conversation with his sons. I'm not talking about this subject because it's Valentine's Day today or because it's sex week on college campuses across America. I'm talking about it because we're in a study of the book of Proverbs and it just happened to land on Valentine's Day. Imagine that. Proverbs chapters 5, 6, and 7 is a conversation between Solomon and his son, and later his sons. He gets a crowd as soon as he starts talking about sex inside the home. And it's chapters 5, 6, and 7. This section of scripture in Proverbs, chapters 1 through 9, which is written in a literary form where Solomon is having a conversation with his son, 25% of the editorial content of Proverbs 1 through 9 is about sex, all right? And it just underscores how important this subject is, how important it is for fathers to lead the conversation in the home, even though this is a conversation between a father and a son. Ladies, you could turn around, it could be between a mother and a daughter. There's intentional conversation and divine guidance for everyday life, including this all-important subject. But here's what I want you to notice. Solomon does not have the talk with his sons about the birds and the bees. It's not about the birds and the bees. It's about the blessings and the curses or the consequences of our sexual behavior. Blessings and pleasure and delight within the marriage relationship, the consequences of taking that act outside of the marriage relationship. Solomon has a straight conversation with his sons about that and warns them about losing their sexual integrity, we might say. So it's not about the birds and the bees. It's not about passing out condoms. Making wise choices about sex is not about passing out condoms. It's about the commandments of God and what God has to say about this all-important subject. Because he created us in his own image, because he made us male and female, trust me, friends, he alone has the exclusive rights on defining what gender means, what relationship between men and women means, marriage, all of that. That is in his exclusive right to define and to instruct us on the wise application of our human sexuality. And we would be wise people to get a hold of these wise sayings from Solomon to his son. So let's do that. Let's talk this week about some of those consequences and the warnings that Solomon shares with his sons. And then next week, we're going to get even more practical in chapter 7 about some ways to maintain our sexual integrity and even restore it if we have lost it. Important, important conversations for us in our culture today. So the first thing that Solomon says to his son is that sexual sin destroys. It destroys a life. Proverbs 6 and verse 32, he who commits adultery lacks sense. In other words, it's a stupid thing to do, okay? And then he goes on to say, he who does it destroys himself. And then we go back to chapter 5 and verse 1, my son, be attentive to my wisdom. Incline your ear to my understanding that you may keep discretion and your lips may guard knowledge. Solomon again comes back to pleading with his son not to just shrug his shoulders and roll his eyes about the wise instruction he's receiving from his dad at home, but to really lean into this. And he quickly transitions to the subject at hand in verse 3, for the lips of a forbidden woman drip honey, and her speech is smoother than oil. But in the end, she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps follow the path to Sheol. She does not ponder the path of life. Her ways wander, and she does not know it. Now, everything that Solomon is going to say to his son about not engaging with a prostitute and an immoral woman could be flipped. And a mother could have the same conversation with her daughter about a relationship with a man. But this, in the context here, Solomon's talking to his son and later to his sons. And the first thing he does is shoot straight with them and lay out for them a pathway to sexual ruin. You want to destroy your life, son? Here's how to do it. It starts with delight. It starts with something that is pleasurable. He says, "For the lips of a forbidden woman drip honey, and her speech is smoother than oil." Now notice what Solomon says here and what he doesn't say. He mentions her lips. He mentions her speech. He says nothing about the way she looks or her body. Because in one sense, and ladies, you need to hear this, one of the most seductive things for a man is when an attractive woman tells him, "You're gifted. you're great. You're one of the smartest guys I've ever met." He says, be careful of the woman whose lips drip with honey and whose speech is smoother than oil. It's not about the eyes yet. It's about what he hears. You see, ladies, if all your husband ever hears is, "Why did you do that? Why did I marry such a fool like you?" That's all he hears. It won't be long before a sweet-talking, honey-dripping thing comes and whispers some sweet nothing in his ear about how great he is and how gifted he is, how talented he is. What a great job you did on that project at the office. And it fills a vacuum and a void that's missing at home.
Don't go away. We'll be right back with more of Dr. Ron Jones' message, Making Wise Choices About Sex. If you're new to the Something Good Radio program, we want to make sure you know that we archive all of Ron's messages at somethinggoodradio.org. That's somethinggoodradio.org. And when you stop by, be sure to check out our online store for a wide range of great resources, including books and DVD messages from Dr. Ron Jones. Contrary to the world's opinion, sex can never produce the things we need most: significance, security, love. Sex is powerless in these areas, which means we have to get them from another source. Now, with the second half of today's message, Making Wise Choices About Sex, here once again is Dr. Ron Jones.
If he doesn't hear, I mean, here, this is empty flattery from the forbidden woman, but if he doesn't hear that ego-boosting language at home, it may be a matter of time before he hears it someplace else. Because here's the mistake we make. We think a man's greatest need is for sex. No, that's a close second. A man's greatest need is for significance. And if he doesn't feel significant inside the four walls of his own home, ladies, he might, well, let me just put it this way. It takes a lot of resistance not to find it outside of the home as time goes on. Now, that's not to point a finger of blame at the wife or to make an excuse for the husband. I'm not doing either of those. And we can flip it around too. While a man's greatest need is for significance, a woman's greatest need is for security. And guys, if you're not providing that security within the home, if you're just a rolling ball from job to job and you can't keep down a job and you can't spend less money than what you make and you're not providing it, it may just be a matter of time before some smooth-talking guy comes along and provides the security for her that you're not providing. Again, I'm not pointing a finger of blame. I'm not making an excuse. What I see is that Solomon understands how a guy is wired. And if all a guy hears is, "You're just a rotten fool that I married. My mama told me a long time ago I shouldn't have married you." That's all he hears at home. Then there may be somebody whose lips drip like honey and whose speech is as smooth as oil, and fills that emptiness in his heart, and one thing leads to another. The reason sexual sin is so tempting is because there's something pleasurable and delightful about it. And it goes to the core of who we are as male and female and the unique needs that we have. But Solomon is quick to say to his son, it moves quickly from delight to disappointment, because her lips may drip honey and her speech may be smoother than oil. But sin is pleasurable for a season, right? That's what the Bible says. And he says on the heels of that, she is as bitter as wormwood. Now, wormwood in the ancient Near Eastern culture was a bitter root plant that you'd find in the desert. If you ate it, it was really, really bitter. And in the Bible, wormwood is an emblem or a symbol of calamity. If you go to the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, John's vision of end times and end times prophecy, he's right in the middle of this time in Bible prophecy known as the Great Tribulation, still future in Bible prophecy. I call it the worst of times on earth. And in Revelation chapter 8 and verse 11, it says that all the rivers and the seas and the oceans will turn bitter like wormwood, and people will drink them, and masses numbers of people on earth will die as a result. And then C.S. Lewis, in his classic book on spiritual warfare called The Screwtape Letters, and it's this conversation between the devil and Satan and this junior demon that he's trying to train up in his diabolical ways. Well, that junior demon, C.S. Lewis, names him, you guessed it, wormwood. Okay? Solomon says, sexual sin goes from delight, here's the path, delight, it's pleasurable, she's whispering sweet nothings, it's like honey from her lips, it's like smooth oil coming. She's telling you things you've never heard. You're wonderful, you're great, you did a fabulous job on that project. You were just this, you're the brightest, smartest guy in the room. But she's as bitter as wormwood. It goes from delight to disappointment, then to destruction. She's sharp as a two-edged sword. Guys, gals, sexual sin will skewer you. It's like eventually somebody taking a sharp two-edged sword and plunging it into your midsection. And then her feet go down to death. Her steps follow the path to Sheol. The path to sexual ruin. Solomon lays it out in no uncertain terms to his son. He's holding nothing back. He isn't sugarcoating this. He's saying sexual sin will destroy and ruin a life. Number two, sexual sin leaves you with painful regret. Let's read on beginning in verse 7. And now, O sons, listen to me and do not depart from the words of my mouth. Keep your way far from her and do not go near the door of her house, lest you give your honor to others and your years to the merciless, lest strangers take their fill of your strength and your labors go to the house of a foreigner. And at the end of your life, you groan when your flesh and body are consumed, and you say, how I hated discipline and my heart despised reproof. I did not listen to the voice of my teachers or incline my ear to my instructors. I am at the brink of utter ruin in the assembled congregation. Here Solomon anticipates that maybe his son, or now his sons, by the way, did you notice it's plural in verse 7? Verse 1, my son, verse 7, and now, O sons. As soon as Solomon starts talking about sex in the household, he's got a crowd, all right? Now all of his sons are leaning into the conversation here. And he anticipates that maybe, just maybe, as life goes on, they reject his wise counsel. Maybe they're sitting there, shrugging their shoulders, rolling their eyes, saying, come on, Dad, I mean, get with the times. It's the 21st century. I just came back from sex week at whatever college. Live and let live. If it feels good, do it, Dad. You know, he's anticipating they might reject it. And if doing so, then he verbalizes their painful regret. How I hated discipline. Oh, how my heart despised reproof and I did not listen to the voice of my teachers. He's saying, you're going to get to that point if you reject the teaching that I share with you. He says, here are some of the consequences. Lest you give your honor to others, your years to the merciless, lest strangers take their fill of your strength. Your strength. When I read that, I thought of Samson in the Old Testament. Remember Samson? Samson was the strong man of the Old Testament. You know, he was the guy, you know, posing at those muscle man places. I mean, he's just a big, strong man. He was a he-man, we might say. He was a he-man with a she-weakness. And everywhere Solomon went, his eyes were scanning for the pretty ladies. And Solomon's strength was tied to the fact that he took a Nazirite vow to the Lord. He gave himself to the Lord at an early age. And part of that was he wouldn't cut it, you know, he couldn't cut his hair. That was part of the Nazirite vow. And it wasn't until this sweet-talking, honey-dripping gal named Delilah came along and whispered sweet nothings in Samson's ear that she figured out the secret to his strength had something to do with his hair, and while he was sleeping, she cut his strength away. And Samson woke up and he couldn't do the things that he was once able to do. And the Bible says these haunting words: he didn't know that the Spirit of the Lord had departed. And we find Samson in this horrible state at the end of his life. His eyes are gouged out. The enemy has conquered him. And he's the mule, as it were, that's just pushing around this grinding thing in the mill, grinding grain, just round and round and round. Just a sad, pitiful, you know, ending to Solomon's life. Sexual sin leaves you with painful regret and possibly even public disgrace. Verse 14, I am at the brink of utter ruin in the assembled congregation. That may be just the nucleus of your own family. It may be family and friends. It may be church family. It may be a politician who disgraces himself or herself on a national stage. Oh, it may start as delight, but as somebody once said, honey drips and honey is sweet, but the bee stings.
Thanks so much for being here for today's Something Good radio message, Making Wise Choices About Sex. Always glad to have you with us. Need prayer today? Stop by somethinggoodradio.org anytime to share your request with us. Click on Explore, then look for the How Can We Pray For You option. That's somethinggoodradio.org. While you're there, use the Courses tab at the top of our homepage and check out Starting Point, A Disciple's First Steps. This online discipleship coaching experience will take you back to the fundamentals of the Christian life and help you disciple someone who is new to the faith. That's Starting Point, A Disciple's First Steps.
Hello, friend. I'm Ron Jones of Something Good Radio. If you've been with us for a while, if you're a regular listener and God is using this broadcast in your life, I want to speak directly to you. When you first tuned in or streamed Something Good, did you know that other people paid to air that program? We call them our ministry partners. They have people just like you in mind when they donate monthly to Something Good, which is a 100% listener-supported ministry. Now that you're a regular listener, will you do the same? Will you help us share Something Good with someone else? We created the 828 Club for people who choose to partner with this ministry through prayer and monthly financial support. It's based on Romans 8:28, which in the message says, every detail in our lives of love for God is worked into something good. I'm asking you to prayerfully consider joining the 828 Club today by giving $28 or more per month to share Something Good with someone else. And when you do, we'll send you some resources to help you grow in your relationship with God. It's our way of saying thanks for your partnership in this gospel ministry. So please join the 828 Club today. Here's Brian with all the details.
When you partner with us here at Something Good, we'll send you a free copy of Ron Jones' full-length book, Mysteries of the Afterlife, exploring its amazing secrets. Join the 828 Club today using the Partners tab at the top of the homepage at somethinggoodradio.org. That's somethinggoodradio.org. Or call 757-276-1099. If you can't become a partner but would like to make a donation to the ministry, Ron will be glad to send you his book, The Jesus Way to Pray, An Intimate Journey Through the Lord's Prayer. Order your copy for a donation of $25 or more. Share it with a friend by requesting a 2-pack for $50, a 4-pack for $75, or an 8-pack for $150 or more. That's The Jesus Way to Pray.
Sexual sin is addicting. A lot of studies out there that give testimony to this. And the Bible certainly tells us that sexual sin enslaves us. Romans 6 and verse 16, the Apostle Paul says, do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin which leads to death or of obedience which leads to righteousness? In other words, something is going to master you, either right choices or wrong choices. Whatever you give yourself to, whatever you present yourself to on a regular basis, that will become your master.
That's next time when Ron shares part two of his message, making wise choices about sex. Join us then for Something Good. For Ron and the entire team here at Something Good Radio, I'm Ryan Davis saying God bless and thanks for listening.